Welcome to Just a Minute.
Oh, thank you.
Is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but to welcome to the program this week four exciting, talented, humorous players who are going to display their verbal ingenuity and dexterity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four clever sparks are, seated on my right, Tony Hawks and Pam Ayres, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Tim Rice. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the centre of Broadcasting House, quite near the centre, the West One area of London. I'm now talking to people who live outside the metropolitan area, just so that they can get their geographical locations right. Oh, no, there's a perfect subject. Sue, we'd love you to begin the show. And what a subject after what I've just said. Twittering. Will you tell us something about twittering in this game, starting now?
Do you like sitting at home in your pants doing nothing? In which case, twittering may be for you. The online Twitter website means that people who otherwise have no social skills get to blast to remote disciples the non-events that have been punctuating the last 24 hours. I've just made a cup of tea! They blare down the internet.
Tony Challenge.
Is that a repetition of internet in there?
No.
That man thinks not.
Hadn't mentioned the internet before. No. I think she assumed everybody knew it was the internet.
No, okay.
So, Tony, that's an incorrect challenge. She's still got twittering, and you have 40 seconds still, Sue, starting now.
Nicholas twitters, but he does so eloquently, and he wears a cravat, and who can possibly...
Tony Challenge.
I think it's a repetition of twitters.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The subject is twittering, and you use the word twitters a second time. Mm. Well, listen... Tony, there are 36 seconds available. You tell us something about twittering starting now.
There's nothing I like more on a summer evening than to go into the garden and listen to the birds twittering away. How wonderful it is.
Pam challenged.
Well, it sounds a bit slow and hesitant. It hasn't got much zest.
No. I think he was surely coming to a halt, almost.
I think so.
In fact, it was so slow, I think we could interpret it as hesitation.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
It was sort of Rohypnol meets ornithology, that Annie.
I accept that I wasn't at my best.
You weren't at your normal pace, Tony, which is a thing. 26 seconds for you, Pam, to tell us something about twittering starting now.
My mother had a green budgerigar called Joey, which twittered reliably, and my maternal parents...
Right, Sue, you challenged.
It was a hesitation on maternal.
Yes.
How dare you?
I know.
Trying to think of another word for it. 17 seconds. It's back with you, Sue. Twittering starting now.
Twittering is an essential part of human discourse. It means you've got little to say, but who cares?
Tim challenged.
I think it's a repetition of little.
Yes, you talked about little before when you were talking about the people who go on...
You're being disparaging about most people, I think.
So, Tim, we're going to hear from everybody on this subject, which is good, and you have 12 seconds. You tell us something about twittering starting now.
I gather twittering is some newfangled thing that people do on the internet, but it is something that I would really...
Right, Pam?
It's a repetition of something.
Yeah, there were two somethings there, Tim. And,
something.
Pam, you've got him with 6 seconds to go on twittering starting now.
Round the bottom of the budgie cave was...
What? Sue, you challenge.
Now, I was going to say repetition of budgie, but you know what she said?
Budgerigar.
I know, Pam. Don't take out the sabre again.
I most certainly did.
Not my eyes, Pam.
She said budgerigar the first time and budgie this time. So, Sam, another
What's
incorrect challenge.
So you get a point.
It'll be a cockatoo next time.
So another... Incorrect challenge, another point to you. 4 seconds available, twittering starting now.
Was a colourful shower hat-like device to catch...
And this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And this occasion, it was Pam Ayres. And you won't be surprised to hear, if you haven't already worked it out, that she's in a strong lead at the end of the first round. Tim Rice, will you take the second round? And the subject I've got here is what I keep in my fridge. Tell us something about that intimate subject. 60 seconds starting now.
I'd like to deal with this topic in several stages. First, I would tackle the important top shelf. This is usually extremely parky, and I only put things in there which I wish to be cold. Things like aardvarks or...
Tony Chance.
Was there a repetition of things?
There was a repetition of things, yes. I only put things in there, things like.
Yes.
Tony, you have 45 seconds. You tell us something about what I keep in my fridge, starting now.
I'm delighted that I've won this subject, partly because I keep more interesting things in the fridge than a lot of people, having travelled for a long time in Ireland with one.
Sue, challenged.
Did Tony say freezer?
Yes, he did.
And it's things we keep in the fridge, so it's deviation.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm confused. Where's
freezer?
The freezer come in?
Tony, you mentioned freezer.
No, he did. He said fridge.
He did. No, he did, Nicholas, honestly. I picked it up as well. He did say freezer because I thought, ping, that's wrong.
If you thought ping, that was a microwave.
Everybody has a freezer in
there.
Everybody has a freezer in their fridge. Not everybody, but most people do.
I'm with Nicholas on this, I have to say.
I don't think within the rules of just a minute you were actually deviating from the subject of what I keep in my fridge. You might have a freezing department, most people do. And you carry on, Tony. What I keep in my fridge, 37 seconds, starting now.
What do you keep in your fridge? And I said shoes, and the man couldn't believe it. And I opened up the door, and there they were, two leather things. He said, champagne, everyone!
Tim Challenge.
Said. We had a couple of saids.
Yes, the man said, yes, yeah. Who said, right. Tim, listen well, 26 seconds. What I keep in my fridge, starting now.
As soon as I open my fridge door and the light comes on, I sing a few selections from Carousel and Oklahoma, and then gaze at the bottom shelf. There...
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of shelf.
Yes, because you talked about the top shelf before.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Come on, it's not a long time since you looked at the top shelf.
So, Sue, correct challenge. You have 17 seconds. Tell us about what I keep in my fridge, starting now.
I keep a collection of aardvarks in my fridge who are running from Tim Rice for their lives. They know that if they burrow...
Tony, you challenge.
There is no fridge big enough for a collection of aardvark. One aardvark, yes, but a collection of aardvarks. I can't accept.
No one disputes that your fridge has a freezer. My fridge is like a walk-in cavern. It is a cavern,
well,
or an underground lair that I've just put
just
a door on.
Let's see what Mr. Nicholas Parsons thinks.
He'll say I'm wrong, because he always
does. It's very easy. I gave you the benefit of the doubt.
I don't like the way this is going.
And we have to assume in the terms of the surreal, which often occur in just a minute, that Sue has got a fridge which is as cavernous as the BBC, and she keeps a whole load of aardvark. So you have the benefit of the doubt on this one. So it's balance, it's justice. This is what I try to dispense. Sue, it's with you still. 11 seconds. What I keep in my fridge, starting now.
I'm not very organised with my cold produce, but I will say this. There are 40,000 jars of indiscriminate brown sludge, some of which claim to be mayonnaise. I don't know. Sell-by date for some time.
Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. She's now in the lead, one ahead of Pam Ayres, and then two ahead of Tony Hawkes and Tim Rice. Tony, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the Ark. Will you tell us something about the Ark in just a minute, starting now?
I'm very impressed by Noah, who got a bit of a nod from God, to pop out and collect up a lot of animals and put them into an ark, two by another couple. And he did this tremendously well, gathering them around the place, never questioning the logic of it, really, because it wasn't going to do that much good in the end. But he, nevertheless, was a determined figure, as I am. I'm not going to give up at 32 seconds. I'm cracking on like that man I spoke of earlier would have done on his ark, which was made of wood. Not balsa, like a lot of people believe, but a sturdy other kind.
Oh, yes.
Where, Sue?
Hesitation.
Yeah, I...
I certainly don't want to carry on, that's for sure.
That was also obvious as well. So, Sue, you got in with the correct challenge. 18 seconds, the ark, starting now.
Noah was the first conservationist, but the only animals that should never have been allowed into the ark were humans, bearing in mind that ultimately it was a couple of those and then a few more that would ensure the destruction of the planet. How beautiful it must have been as the last pair of aardvarks entered, with Tim Rice pursuing them, knife and fork in hand.
So Sue Perkins was again speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, has increased her lead at the end of that round ahead of the others. Tim, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is the best advice my father ever gave me. Will you tell us something about that, if you can, in this game, starting now?
When I was very young, my father took me to one side and left me there, but I followed him very closely to listen to what he had to say, and I've never forgotten those wonderful words. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. He sang it to me. He spoke it on other occasions.
Sue Chan.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
No, it's dramatic effect, but never mind. Call it hesitation.
It was dramatic effect, and very dramatic. The trouble is, in just a minute, when you're trying to speak, you have to sacrifice all that to keep the fluency of your language going. So, Sue, correct challenge for you, 42 seconds. The best advice my father ever gave me, Sue, starting now.
The best advice my dad ever gave me was don't go outside in daylight without a bag on your head, otherwise there'll be repercussions. It's something I've adhered to throughout my 39 years.
Tim Chance.
It's just so sad. I would rather you kept that to yourself. I mean, this is distressing.
Sometimes radio can be cathartic, Tim.
Okay.
So, Tim, have you a challenge?
Well, it was a kind of, you know, I just felt she was telling us.
You can use sadness, you can use joy, you can use passion,
yes.
You can use flamboyance, you can use anything you like in just a minute.
But hey, let's use dance and now.
As long as you keep going and don't hesitate, deviate, or repeat yourself. Right, 33 seconds, Sue, another point to you and the subject. Best advice my father ever gave me, starting now.
My father is a marvellous gentleman, and in all sincerity, the only piece of advice he's ever given me is don't do what I did.
Tony Challenge.
Well, if that was in all sincerity, I have to question what she said before, which I believe to be in all sincerity, and I feel cheated, Nicholas.
Why?
Because I didn't buzz for deviation before, believing that to be the case.
In all sincerity, he said, don't do what I did. And what he did was he did go out in daylight without a bag on his head.
Whatever we say, Nick, we've heard enough about this family, frankly.
What you're saying is that your challenge is, she said the best advice her father ever gave, and now it's a different piece of advice.
Yes, exactly,
so it
Nicholas.
Can't be the best advice twice.
Exactly.
So, right, okay, Tony, you have the benefit of the doubt. So the best advice my father ever gave me, Tony, 27 seconds, starting now.
The best advice my father gave me was to be incredibly picky all the time. On shows like this, it's a huge advantage, let me tell you. Because people aren't really doing much wrong, and we sit here and study every single word they say and pick away at them. And I'm working on that advice my father gave me all those years ago as he popped me on his knee, as he was wont to do. Tony, he would...
I love the idea of your father putting you on his knee and then giving you advice about how to do just a minute.
Yeah, I was 32 at the time.
Anyway, Tony, we'll speak as a whistle when gain that extra point, and you've now moved forward, but you're still in second place, but you are ahead of Tim Rice and Pam Ayres. Sue's still in the lead, and who's going to speak next? Ah, Pam, it's back to you to start. Oh, the subject, lovely one for you, Mother Nature. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It is easy to imagine Mother Nature as a benevolent figure, her fat arms laden with fruits, vegetables, flowers, nuts, seeds, straddling, as she does, the silver, fish-filled rivers beside green pastures, whereupon the cattle graze and multiply. Who did that?
Who did that? Tell me.
That is not easy to imagine.
Tony, we'll join your interruptions. I'm going to give you a bonus point for what you said. But I'm going to leave it with Pam, because I think the way the picture she was painting, it was very easy to imagine it all. I had this wonderful picture of Mother Nature.
Fat-armed Mother Nature.
And a beast woman straddling a river.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I've always imagined a very lithe Mother Nature.
Fat-armed. She was alive. She had so many attributes. Fat-armed. And the audience were loving it.
Popeye Mother Nature.
So, Tony, you've got a point for your interruption. Pam gets a point because she was interrupted. 39 seconds, Pam. Mother Nature, starting now.
But do not be deceived. Nature red in tooth and claw. Look beyond the amiable countenance to the venom-filled fang of the snake, the bloody jaw of the wolf, and the ink of the squid.
Tony, you've challenged again.
Security.
Oh, you're wicked, Tony. But you've given Pam a breather. But you get a point because the audience enjoyed the interruption.
He's interrupted the flow of the Silver River now. Yes. He has.
I know, darling, but you've got a chance to gather your breath and your wits again.
Because I haven't got much more to say.
I want to find out what happens after the bloodied fang of the snake.
Yeah, but I mean, Tony, because we enjoyed your interruption, get a bonus point for that. I think you deserve that. But, Pam, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that, and you have 22 seconds to take up the subject of Mother Nature. Go off in a different direction now, darling. We just can't... We just can't wait for it. Starting now.
The survival of the fittest, the predation of the weak by the strong, the abandonment of the runt.
Tim, you've changed.
Well, tragically, there was a hesitation there.
No, there wasn't. It was the same face she's done the whole of the other thing.
It was a repetition of the, of the, the.
No, and the audience agree entirely with me, don't they?
Take it all away.
They're enjoying this sort of interrupted monologue from Pam. So, Pam, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt again.
She's done about 4 minutes. It does feel like she's
just
done 4 minutes already.
And see if you can gird your loins and take the subject again in another direction with 12 seconds to go, starting now.
The abandoned... No, I said that.
Yeah. You did say abandonment before. Tony, you challenge first.
Yes, repetition of abandonment.
Yeah. 10 seconds, Tony. You wanted Mother Nature and you've got it. 10 seconds. Starting now.
It's easy to imagine the thin-armed Mother Nature as she walks through the forest, admiring her work, saying, I did that. Bloody good, isn't it?
You know, I've got to make an observation about this show because you have these subjects, I mean, they're sort of very haphazard. And sometimes one subject takes off and becomes a classic. I thought that was a wonderful round.
You're very kind.
Tony was then speaking to Whistle Wen, gained the extra point. He's now taking the lead, actually. And Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is All Fingers and Thumbs. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
People who have all fingers and thumbs make great organists, but rubbish football players. It's used to describe people who are clumsy.
Pam, challenge.
A repetition of people.
Yes, there's too many people there, my love. Yeah. Right. So, Pam, you have a correct challenge. You've got 52 seconds. Tell us something about all fingers and thumbs, starting now.
A person who is all fingers and thumbs would be inept at tapestry, embroidery, Berlin work, drawn thread, and kinds of things like that. She struggled.
There was a sort of winding down, I think. A hesitancy there.
Slight winding down, but not hesitation within the rules of Just a Minute. So she has the benefit of the doubt. I gave it to you last time. It's when they advance towards you begin to...
Who'd have thought they could have got the pitchforks through security?
But that low growl from the audience is a bit strange and sinister. No, I give benefits of the doubt. I gave it to Sue before. She won on some of yours. This time... Pam has the benefit of the doubt, and she wasn't. Hesitation. 39 seconds with you, Pam, still on all fingers and thumbs, starting now.
And would be more suitable for murdering people or...
Tim, challenge.
Repetition of people.
Tim, you have a correct challenge. 35 seconds, all fingers and thumbs, starting now.
All fingers and thumbs is a strange medical complaint. If indeed a person was all fingers and thumbs and didn't have, for example, a liver, kidney, brain, back, front, knee, ankle, toes...
Sue, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, at last. Right, you're in on it. You wanted this subject, I think. All fingers and thumbs, Sue. 20 seconds, starting now.
Pam, of course, is right. People who are all fingers and thumbs make great murderers if you're going to point someone to death. That is the best way I've found, just to run at someone with an index finger raised in a stabbing motion. Frightening it can be. They may have a heart attack. I don't know. I'm going to go and try it later, because Pam of Ayres has said... I said Pam.
Tim Shannon.
A brace of Pams.
Yes.
I can't
thought.
Get enough of them.
Exactly. A lovely thought.
Right. But you've got in, Tim, with 3 seconds to go on all fingers and thumbs, starting now.
The clumsiest person I ever knew was all...
who was speaking then as the whistle went? It was Tim Rice, so he's got that extra point. We're moving into the final round. Mm-hmm. And, Tim, I think it's your turn to begin. Dick Whittington. 60 seconds, starting now.
Richard Whittington was thrice mayor of London. It's all too easy to make cheap jokes about Dick Whittington and his cat, so I will. Dick, go.
Sue, challenge.
Hesitation?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, Tim, you've still got the subject. Mm? Dick Whittington, 51 seconds, starting now.
The real Dick Whittington was, in fact, a very successful 14th century trader and merchant. And in the reigns of Richard II, Henry IV, Part 1...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of Richard.
What?
Richard.
You started the whole thing with Richard Whittington.
Oh.
You did it, Luke.
That was a different Dick, though, Tony.
43 seconds, Tony. 43 seconds on Dick Whittington with you, Tony, starting now.
I can remember when I was 6 years old. My father popped me on his lap in the theatre and we watched the pantomime. Dick Whittington came on the stage. Why is he wearing tights? I said, that's no way for a man to behave. But Papa, he gave me a short talk on the history of theatre, how it had developed and the various little methods of...
Tim Challenge.
Yeah, this is apart from being extremely boring, this is really about Dick Whittington. It's about the history of the theatre.
And his father permanently wanting Tony on his name. How much advice can you get from a man?
Yes, he was giving a talk about the history of the theatre.
I mean,
and
he
really wanted to talk about Dick Whittington. Yes.
Could you not afford two seats? Was that the deal?
I was in the theatre watching Dick Whittington
on
whilst this speech from my father was going on. Mm. I think the theme of Dick Whittington is still with us. What do you think, Nick?
I think you're quite right. Uh-huh. But I was trying to keep it even so that we both finish up with people. So, Dick Whittington... Tony, we're with you. 22 seconds, starting now.
I think the current mayor of London would like to be re-elected 3 times, but I don't see it happening. Does?
Tim Challenge.
Well, again, I mean, it's nothing to do with Dick Whittington, but Dick Whittington, the one that Tony's referring to, was only re-elected twice. He was elected once and then re-elected twice. So there's no logical comparison between... The current mayor, were he to... Well, you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Give me a point, then.
Because it's the end of the show, and there are 15 seconds
Nicholas has given up.
And I gave it against you last time, though you had a certain logic in your challenge.
Yes.
And you have a certain logic, only a certain logic in your challenge now. Tony had the benefit of the doubt last time. You have the benefit of the doubt this time. You have 15 seconds. You tell us something more about Dick Whittington starting... Yes, you starting... Now,
Richard Whittington was born in Gloucester.
Repetition of Richard.
God, hoist you on your own petard, right. Sue, you have a correct challenge. Dick Whittington is with you 13 seconds ago, starting now.
He believed the streets to be paved with gold. We know now that those said avenues are just covered in dog excrement and endless free newspapers.
Tony Challenge.
Was there a repetition of covered?
He believed them to be covered in gold. And now they're covered in excrement.
Paved.
Oh, he said no, paved, and then
paved
covered.
With gold and covered.
Even though, you see how fair I am.
Incorrect challenge. Sue, another point to you, Dick Whittington. 6 seconds to go, starting now.
He had a knapsack, possibly with sandwiches in, wrapped in a kerchief, which was a thing.
Pam, challenge.
A repetition of in.
In?
Oh, that's terse, Pam. Oh!
I'm a desperate woman, oh. Aren't I?
I never thought I'd have Pam Ayres look at me so keenly and say, I'm a desperate woman.
I am.
Well, you know what I'm going to do now? Because if I give it to Pam...
Oh, dear.
That 1 second to go. There's only 1 second to go, by the way. It means that we have a joint winner, which I always think is much fairer than having an individual winner.
It's like the Matrix, isn't it? When they peel back reality, you see the nuts and bolts workings of the thing. You carve it up how you want, Nicholas. I absolve myself. Have you not filled in your BBC safeguarding trust modules?
I'm going to put it to the audience. Would you like Pam to have this last second?
Yes!
I'm afraid you are the final arbiters. Pam, there's 1 second to go on Dick Whittington starting now. Tim, you challenge.
Hesitation.
No, got it. Pam, you've got another point and you've got half a second on Dick Whittington starting now.
Richard Whittington.
Well, I'll give you the final score now. So Tim Rice and Pam Ayres equal in second place, but out in the lead with a massive 18 points each were Tony Hawkes and Sue Perkins, our joint winners. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine and humorous players of this game, I think. Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so elegantly. We are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you. And to our listeners also for tuning in. Be with us next time we play Just a Minute. But before we say farewell, I thought we should do one little tiny thing because... As you all probably know, one of our regular players, Clement Freud, has left us. And we thought you might like to be reminded, as a sort of final little tie-up to this show, of a clip of Clement Freud speaking on Just a Minute. Right, Clement, a correct challenge. 21 seconds. How I hope my epitaph will read starting now.
I think just my name, the date of my death, and best before.
Well, it deserved the applause, and I think you rested on your laurels with that one. One of the best in Just a Minute. And Clement Freud was, on occasions, the best in Just a Minute. We will miss him very much. Thank you. Let's give him a final round of applause for all the years he was in the show and his major contributions. Thank you.